Love it, love it, love it. Well, hey, welcome again to Athens Church. My name is Sean C. I get to be one of the pastors around here. And we're spending a few weeks talking about the concept of prayer, and prayer is an interesting thing. Everybody has their own perspective on prayer. And let me tell you, one of the things that I've observed, and you guys have testified to this recently, is most every person who's actually a follower of Jesus who I've ever met before, with very, very, I'm talking less than 1% exception, would say their perception of what their life of prayer should be like, what their prayer should be like, is like at this standard, but their actual prayers are at this standard, and there's a big gap. And for some of us, it's like a huge gap, like my arms aren't long enough, right? But almost every person I've ever met, that is the case. So here's what you need to understand starting off. 99.9% of the people sitting around you feel the exact same way. We're not very good at this. We don't know how to do it. It doesn't work when we do it. You know, we don't know what to say. I keep falling asleep. You know, I don't even have time, all those kind of things. So that's normal. So my mentor, John Woodall, spoke last Sunday, and if you missed it, you got to go back and watch it. But one of the things that John said was really important is we're not sharing this series because we're experts at this. We're sharing this series because it's important. And so we're learning in this together, and our hope is that we could come around this together and learn some things, and I'm really glad you're a part of it. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're kind of checking this place out or you're figuring out kind of the whole spiritual journey, prayer is actually a kind of an odd mystical thing, isn't it? The concept of talking into the air, we're kind of talking to this God. We can't see him, we can't hear him, we can't touch him, we can't smell him. Like, is anything really happening? Am I just talking to the air? Does anything matter, you know, here? And so that's a very, very normal way to understand. And so I completely get it. So you just hopefully enjoy today. But I think we would all say this. It's actually a compelling idea, isn't it? It's a compelling concept that there would actually be a God who knows and cares about me and wants to hear my voice and wants to communicate to me. And that's actually what I've experienced personally. And if you weren't here a couple weeks ago when I started the series, I hope you'll go back and watch it, because one of the things I shared in this series is for most of my life as a follower of Jesus, this has not been a very strong part of my life. But in recent years, the pain in my life has caused this to grow, to become more real. And so that's been my personal experience. So I'm excited to talk about this. Now, we've had this kind of overarching definition, if you will, about prayer, and that is that prayer is a conversation. It's not a presentation. Prayer is a conversation, not a presentation. This is actually so important. It's like maybe the one thing I want you to take away from this whole series. So can we say this out loud together? Can we say prayer is a conversation, not a presentation? Almost like you believe it for a second. Ready? All together. Prayer is a conversation, not a presentation. And that's incredibly important, because what I'm doing right now is a presentation, okay? The lights, the camera, the microphone, all that. I got to say the right things. I got a certain amount of time, all this. I got to do this the right way. Prayer's not like that. Prayer is you talking to the person who understands you best and talking to the person who can actually do something about the things that you're talking about. So prayer is just simply a conversation. So we would just say, no matter how bad you are at it, just try it. Just start. And then John last week talked about this idea that I think is incredibly significant, that most of you are incredibly intimidated by, and that is praying out loud. And John gave us this phrase that we've actually talked about around here before, but we just want to say it all the time because it's so important, and that is pray together out loud on a regular basis. Pray together out loud on a regular basis. If you are married, if you are engaged, if you have kids, this is something guy to guy, girl to girl, friend to friend that you can do. Just praying with your friend. One of the things that freaks people out that I do all the time, and this is so simple, people just don't know this is allowed, is people will call me and they'll be talking about something that's going on in their world, and they'll say, hey, will you pray about that? They think that my prayers have some like unique power. They don't have any unique power, trust me. But nevertheless, I'm thankful. I love to pray with them. And so I'll just say, hey, can we just pray right now on the phone? They're like, whoa, you can do that? I'm like, yes, that's in bounds. You can actually pray on the phone. And so John talked about last week this idea of a 4-minute prayer that he and his wife do on the phone as they are kind of getting their day started together. And so this idea of praying out loud is a huge deal. Now, let me say this to those of you, specifically dads in the room or wannabe dads, no matter what the age of your kids are. The greatest advice I was ever given as a parent, in my opinion, is the advice my friend Jim gave me about, I don't know, 7 years ago, maybe something like that. He said, Sean, all my kids' life when they were growing up, we prayed together. He said, but when my son got to be about 11, 12, 13 years old, it became really awkward and uncomfortable, so we stopped praying together. He said, that's my single biggest regret as a father. And so here's what I would say. Pray when it's awkward. Pray when it's uncomfortable. pray when everybody's mad. It doesn't matter. Pray out loud together on a regular basis whenever you can. FYI, for those of you that don't have teenagers yet, every conversation is uncomfortable. Every conversation is angry. There's a door slamming at every conversation, okay? It doesn't matter what it is. That's just the way it works. So don't let prayer, I mean, we do the, you're going to be on restriction if you don't come down here and pray right now, okay? It's that kind of thing around our house. Yes, I know that you're mad, but we're praying anyway, because if you don't, you never ever, if you're waiting on this like super soft spiritual moment to pray, that will be after your children have left the home. That's when we have that like soft spiritual moment. Outside of that, it simply doesn't happen. The same thing with your spouse. There's no good moment. Just dive in and pray. You don't have to say the right things. You don't have to have, you know, there's awkward pauses. All that is part of it. And so you just pray together out loud on a regular basis. And if you missed last week, I hope you'll go back and see it. Well, there's so much we could say around this idea of prayer. There's no way we can cover it in these few weeks. So what I want to do is I want to point you toward a couple of resources that I found really helpful. Now, chances are 95% of you have never read a book on prayer. I had never read any books on prayer that I know of up until recent years. And now I've read several, and they're really, really helpful for me. If you would say you are intimidated by the idea of prayer, that you're a prayer failure in life, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? This is an incredible book to read. A Praying Life by Paul Miller. It is so simple, so easy to read, so story-oriented, and so encouraging. I guarantee you, you will pray more and better if you read that book. That was incredibly helpful for me. If you are a parent, this guy named Mark Batterson actually wrote a book called The Circle Maker, and that in and of itself is a neat book. But this one specifically is called Praying Circles Around Your Children. And let me just show you, this will encourage you. Look at the size of this book. Like, yes, you could actually make it through this book. You know, this is one of those you could actually do if you're like me. And then specifically the ladies in the room, if you're married or going to get married or marriage is in any way part of your story, Stormy Martian wrote the Power of a Praying Wife. She's actually got the power of a praying almost everything. There's like 60 of these books, I think. But this one is amazing. I read the Power of a Praying Parent, Power of a Praying Husband. It's just really, really good. And I just need these encouragements, these reminders to pray. So those are just helpful resources. Matter of fact, I have one of each of those books. And if after the service, now listen closely, if you would say, Sean, I promise you I'll read every page of the book, like if, not like most books, you know, read a chapter and like, oh, I'll finish that sometime, then I'm going to put them down here on the end and you just be the first one to come grab it and you can just take this book with you. I hope it'll be encouragement. If not, like take a picture of that screen real quick and then you can go download them on your Kindle or whatever, however it is you read. Some people read real books, I think they say. So here's my conviction, my experience. I believe that no matter what you believe, everybody prays at some point in time in their life. Everybody prays about something or something. Okay, this is a moment of confession. I need you to just, everybody to just dive in and be a part of this authentic moment of confession. Have you ever, at any time in your life, prayed in the fourth quarter of a game, of a ball game? Raise your hand real high if you've said, God, please help them to fumble or, you know, us to make this shot or whatever. As Georgia fans, are we not praying enough? I don't understand. Like, are they praying too? And then who's God listening to? I don't understand. I feel like we need to ramp that up a little bit. But anyway, I have a 7-year-old daughter, okay? And almost every day, my 7-year-old daughter prays for a puppy, all right? To which I have told her, unless God is willing to walk and feed that dog, do not pray for that dog anymore. So I'm a terrible father who's telling my child not to pray because I'm convinced God's not going to come walk our dog every morning. And so therefore, I'm holding out on that one. Some of you have lost your keys. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've prayed to find your keys before. Some of you, all right, this is real church here, okay? Some of you have prayed for a pregnancy test to come back negative, okay? You've prayed that prayer before. We're not going there. We don't have time. That's a whole other series that we'll talk about purity another time. But you've prayed that prayer, some of you have, and you know who you are. What amazes me about those prayers is that most of those prayers are, God, I'm in a bind, and I don't have any other options right now. Will you help me? And it amazes me that God listens to those prayers. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, God says this. He says, I want you to take all of your cares and your concerns and your worries, all of them, and I want you to give them to me. Actually, I want you to cast them onto me. I want you to throw them onto me so that you're not carrying them self. And he says, why? He says, because I care for you. And here's what I want you to know. Those little petty things that might not seem like they're significant in the grand scheme of life, if they matter to you, they matter to God. And he says, let's talk about it. He invites you to pray about anything. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, the big idea after the armor of God is pray all kinds of prayers at all times about anything. That's kind of the concept there around prayer. But what I want to talk about for the next few minutes is I want to talk about specifically praying for things we need and specifically the big things. I want to talk about praying for the things that if I ask you, if God could do just one thing for you, just one thing, what would it be? That one big thing in your heart, in your mind, that miracle you need, that healing that you need, that dream that you have. What is that one big thing? And Jesus actually talked to his disciples about this, and we have it recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It's in Luke chapter 18, and he starts this story. He tells them a story, an analogy. He starts this story by telling them a phrase that I am hoping will be the number one thing that you and I take away from today. Here's what Jesus says. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always, what's that word? One more time. That they should always, what? And they should never, what? They should never, what? One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. That's the one thing that I want you to take away from today. The story that he goes on to tell them is actually of a widow who has a dispute with someone, and she comes to a judge. The judge that she comes to is actually a terrible man. It says he doesn't care about God, and he doesn't care about people. Essentially, he has no authority, no accountability. He doesn't care about anybody. This guy is a total jerk. And he says she brings her dispute to him. And then she brings it again to the next day. And then again, and again, and again, and again, and again. She keeps bringing her dispute to him over and over and over again every day, to the extent that eventually this is how the judge responds. He says, "This woman is driving me crazy." Some of you men have actually said that same exact thing. "This woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request." She's wearing me out with her constant request. And then look what Jesus said. "Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night?" You see, Jesus says, I want to tell you a story. It's a story of a woman who really needed something desperately. And the person she went to was a terrible person. But she was so persistent and she was so faithful about crying out day and night about this thing that eventually even that terrible judge helped her with what she was facing. And he says, but I want you to understand, you're talking to a God who loves you, who cares about you, who's not a terrible person, and who has the power to fix your situation. He says, so in light of that, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. I want you to stop and think for a second. Jesus lived on the earth for about 33 years. He spent about 3 years in public ministry. He said thousands of things. Many of those have been preserved and recorded for us in the Gospels. And of all the things that Jesus could say, why do you think, number one, he said this, and why would God have been so gracious as to preserve it for us 2,000 years later? And here's why I'm convinced. Because God knew that just like those disciples, we were going to face some really, really difficult times, and it would be very tempting for us to give up. You see, you know what God knew? God knew the state of your marriage. He knew how easily you would be tempted to give up. See, when I was 5 years old, my parents were divorced. And over the next 10 years, my parents were married and divorced multiple times. I've been married for 24 years myself. I can promise you we've seen some very dark days where we had no idea if we would make it. Marriage is incredibly hard. As a matter of fact, I would say if your marriage is incredibly hard, it's probably right in the line of normal. Marriage is very difficult. So Jesus knew that we would be in this dark and this difficult place. Some of you, you're in the middle of an occupation. You've got a job and it's killing you. Your boss is killing you, your coworkers. You're headed down a path that leads to nowhere, it looks like, and you are absolutely miserable. When I graduated college, I actually took a job short term at a steel factory. I worked from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. every single day. When I got home at about 3:30, by 3:45 every day, I had cramps in my stomach because I was so dreading going back to work the next day. I absolutely hated it. I hated every minute of it. Some of you are in a job right now that is miserable for you. It's terrible. Some of you are in academics right now. You're still in school. And it's feeling like, is it ever going to end? And school, for some of you, is harder than it is for everybody else. It doesn't come naturally to you. It takes so much work. It takes so much faithfulness, so much persistence, so much, you know, just focus and effort day after day. And it's wearing you out. And it's a grind. And it seems so much easier for other people. And it's absolutely exhausting for you. Some of you are in the season of life where you have aging parents. They don't have many years of life left. You've got really difficult decisions to make. You're not sure what to do, and it's difficult among your siblings and trying to figure out how to manage this. And here was your parent who once took care of you, and now you're trying to take care of them, and you've only got so much money and so much energy, and you're not sure how to navigate this, and it's ripping your heart out. Some of you, you just feel completely alone. You feel like you don't really have any real friends in the world who get you. Or maybe you've been stabbed in the back by someone. And you just feel so hurt and so betrayed and so alone. And you're just in a really, really difficult spot. Some of you are like me, like I talked about a couple weeks ago. You've got a kid that's struggling. And I don't know all the pains in the world, but in my experience, there's no pain like the pain of a struggling child. You got a sick kid, or you've got a kid that is all alone, or a kid that doesn't have any friends, or a kid that's struggling through any number of issues in life, and it is absolutely ripping your heart out. You would do anything to help that kid. Now, I want you to listen for a second, please. There's another significant group of people in this room who they'd do anything to have a sick kid because they can't have any. And day and night, they think about wanting to have a family. And their heart is broken, and they've tried everything they know to do, and they don't know how to fix it. Some of you, your kids are out of your house, and you're concerned about their future, you're concerned about their friends, you're concerned about their marriage, you're concerned about any number of issues that they're struggling with. They got sexual identity issues, they've got, you know, relationship issues, they got so many issues, and you're trying to figure out how to lead and love them through it, and you're absolutely exasperated, and you don't know what to do. This is why Jesus said, you should always pray and never give up. You see, in every one of these situations, here's something that's consistent. We've all tried our very best to fix the situation already. We've already tried to fix our marriage. We've already tried to fix our kids. We've already tried to fix our job. We've already tried to fix our friendship situation. We've given it everything we know to do. And as a matter of fact, some of you are type A people like me who are like really driven. And as a matter of fact, you live with stress all the time for trying to fix your problems. Because you're trying to fix the people around you and the circumstances and the situation around you. And here's one of the most heartbreaking realities as it relates to all that, that many of us live with this assumption. We think that our power is the only power. We think that we're the only ones that can fix our job. We're the only ones that can fix our marriage. We're the only ones that can fix our friends. We're the only ones that can fix our kids. And when you live with that mindset, then all of your effort, all of your focus, all of your energy is on you, and you give it everything you've got. But fortunately for us, James, the brother of Jesus, who came to the conclusion that his brother was the Son of God, talked about what do you do when you're in the middle of difficult circumstances, and he said that you should pray. He said, hey, if any of you are facing this type of situation, you should pray. And then he gave the reason why. And this powerful idea is something I am praying would land on our hearts and would just be a hallmark that we take away from these weeks together. James said this in James chapter 5. He said, here's why you should pray, because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. James said, I can't explain all of this to you. I can't tell you how the formula actually works, but here's what I can tell you, that God is listening to your prayers and God cares about your prayers. And if you pray earnestly, that prayer has great power and it produces wonderful results. He went on to say earlier in that letter, he said, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. He says, you're convinced your power is the only power. You're trying to figure out how to navigate all of this yourself and manipulate all of these circumstances yourself because you're convinced your power is the only power. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 on the Sermon on the Mount, maybe James heard his brother say this. Jesus said this. He said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. And then he says, because you know what? God's like a parent. And he said, those of you that are parents, he said, if your son asks you, if your child asks you for bread, would you give him a rock instead? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't give your child a rock if they asked for bread. You're a parent. You love your child. But listen to how he talks about us because he knows who we really are. He says, if you sinful people, you know what kind of parent I am? Sinful parent. Jesus knows my heart. I'm a sinful parent at best. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And so we've got a huge, huge decision to make today. Maybe the most important thing you will do this entire day is make this decision. Do you believe that praying about things makes any difference? One of the things people say to me regularly is, Sean, why should I pray about something? If God already knows the future and already knows what's going to happen, why should I pray? I've always been confounded by that question. I don't understand that. I know God knows the future, but I don't know the future. I'm praying because I don't know what's next. I don't know what's tomorrow. I don't know if we can have children miraculously. I don't know if I can find another job. Let me tell you something. In the last 6 months, my family, okay, we work really hard to manage our money. This is important to us. We have prayed this prayer. God, we need you to come through for us financially. We're giving our very best, and we need you still to come through because there's a shortfall, and we're not quite sure how to figure it out. And let me tell you something. We have seen God come through for us personally in real ways in the last 6 months. And so as a result of that, and as a result of what I've seen over and over again, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I hope you will do. I'm going to always pray and never give up. I'm going to always pray and never give up. As a matter of fact, I want you to say this out loud with me. I want you to say, always pray and never give up. Can we say it out loud together? Here we go. Always pray and never give up. One more time. Always pray and never give up. If you would say, Sean, I really just don't believe that prayer changes anything. I really understand that because chances are you've probably tried. And it maybe didn't work out the way that you were hoping for. You prayed for your parents' marriage to make it and they didn't. You prayed for your sister to get better and she didn't. I understand that. But if you take that perspective, then what you're saying is for the rest of your life, your outcomes depend purely on your abilities and your ability to manipulate circumstances. That's your only hope. But you know, as we were preparing for this series, I started looking through the Bible. And I started looking through the Bible specifically about prayer, and I specifically started looking about when people asked God for things. When they asked God to specifically come through for things. And I want to show you just a real simple list of some of the verses that I saw. In every single one of these verses, God answered their prayers. Genesis 35:21, and God answered their prayer. Genesis 30:17, and God answered their prayer. And God answered his prayer. And God answered her prayer. And God answered his prayer. And God answered their prayers. Over and over. Let me tell you something. Those of you that are struggling with infertility here today, And the fact that I even bring it up just makes you hurt inside because it's so personal, so real for you. Do you know that multiple prayers of these were prayers for children? Multiple times. And God answered their prayer. He answered their prayer. He answered their prayer. He answered their prayer. He answered their prayer. This author, Mark Batterson, who wrote this book, he says a line in here that was really powerful to me. He said, we can't all be perfect parents, but we can all be praying parents. And he went on to say in the book, The Circle Maker, he said that God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. Now, is God going to answer every single prayer you pray? No, he's not going to. He's a better father than that. Sometimes he's going to do something better than what you even asked for, because he's wise. Sometimes he's going to do something different. But the Savior of the world, on the night before he gave his life for us, knelt before his Father and he said, God, if there's any other way that this can be done, then please do it. Nevertheless, let your will be done, not my will. But he cried out to his Father with drops of blood coming down, asking God for help. And that same Jesus told us, always pray and never give up. I've experienced this personally on many, many occasions. Several years ago, we were still meeting at the Classic Center as a church, and God had put men on my heart. And I really just had a burden for where men were, and we did a series called The Man That I Want to Be. And in the series, our hope was to encourage and challenge men to continue to grow, to become leaders and followers of Jesus. And I had this idea, something we'd never done before as a church. I said, what if we could invite men to go public with their faith through baptism like today, like right now? Not a single man in the room was planning on this. Like today, could we invite someone? And I'm just going to be honest with you. As like the dude that was doing the inviting, I was scared to death. I was like, God, I really don't want to look like a fool here. I'm going to look kind of stupid. I thought very strongly just, you know, about asking someone to even be rebaptized just to be a plant so that I wouldn't look like a fool as the one who was offering these guys to do this, okay? Because I'm just like, even if just, you know, one guy does it, can I get my dad to do it again? I don't know. Would that work? Like anything, you know, I don't want to look like a fool here. But I remember before that series praying with Mike Kozlowski. I said, Mike, I believe this is the right thing for us to do. And so would you mind just, let's buy some shorts and shirts and let's just see. And Mike went out and bought 30 pairs of shorts and shirts. And I thought, man, I don't know what he's dreaming of. But on that day, 39 men went public with their faith in Jesus. Some of these men are sitting around you right now. And I saw God do some absolutely powerful, powerful things that day in those men's lives, and it has continued, and it blew me away. A few years later, we said, what if we offer this up to anybody? Maybe we've like, you know, kind of done that the one time that it would happen. I don't know, but I remember I prayed again with Mike, and Mike said, Sean, he said, I'm going to buy 100 shorts and shirts. I'm like, you got to be crazy. But man, thank you. Okay, let's ask God to do this. Let's ask God to do this. Not for us. Let's ask God to do this for the people that are here. And that day, out behind the old Walmart, 270 people went public with their faith in Jesus. And one day, not a single person came to church that day planning to do that. But God was doing something powerful in their lives. You see, we pray bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. They say, God, we can't do this. We can't make this happen. Only you can. And maybe the greatest personal experience I've ever had with this was actually when I was in college. You see, I grew up in Gwinnett, and I had the same best friend my whole life since second grade. And to say that we were unwise decision makers would be a dramatic understatement, okay? We got to know several law enforcement individuals on a first-name basis in the Gwinnett County area. I mean, I could just tell you humiliating story after humiliating story. It was terrible. So many regrets, but can't take that back. Well, in college, I went away to college, and I began a real relationship with Jesus, started changing my life. Well, my buddy George, he continued down that same path. He continued down a path that I was convinced would ultimately lead to his death. And as a matter of fact, another of our friends who continued down that same path is no longer with us today because of those choices. I knew that this was serious. And so for the very first time in my life, I prayed. And I didn't just pray casually. I didn't just pray once. I prayed every single day. God, please help George to trust you as a Savior. Please change his life. God, please turn him around. Please help him. And I will never forget, about 2 years later, the phone call that I got. He said, Sean, I just want to let you know, man, I'm beginning a relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to let him lead my life. And I couldn't have imagined a person who was further away from that decision. Some of you have that person in your life right now who you can't imagine that ever happening in your life. I prayed every day, every day, every day, every day. Always pray and never give up. So here's the question that I want to ask you today. It's really, really simple. What do you need God to do? What's the one thing? Maybe for you there's five. But what do you need God to do? Are you in a marriage that is headed toward disaster and you need God to step in? Let me ask you something. I guarantee you this is true for hundreds of us here today. Do you have a family member or a friend who is sick, who has no hope, who is hanging on? What do you need God to do? And here's what Jesus would say. Always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. Some of you have broken relationships and there's no chance of them coming back together on your power. Always pray and never give up. You see, for some of you, the one thing that you want or need God to do, it's not really a need, it's a dream. It's something that feels like it's living inside of your heart. I mentioned it earlier, the idea of starting a family or having children. It's your dream. It's what you long for. And here's what I would say. Always pray and never give up. Are we promised that God's going to answer every prayer? No, we're not promised. But God says, always pray and never give up. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep coming to me. Keep talking to me over and over again. Listen to this. Listen, please. He says, I never get tired of hearing your voice. I never get tired of hearing your voice. Some of you have children, and you know that the most important decision they'll ever make in their lives outside of trusting Jesus as their Savior is who they spend their lives with, who they marry. And here's what I would say. Pray now, pray often, pray, pray, pray. Pray that God would protect your little girl's purity. Pray that God would protect your little boy's purity and that he would lead them to an awesome, godly, beautiful spouse one day. They would be able to spend their lives together. That is worthy of praying for every single day. If you don't have children yet, start praying that prayer. Always pray and never give up. See, some of you some of us are afraid to pray bold things. We're afraid to pray silly things. Let me tell you something. I've got a 5'9" white sophomore high school basketball player son. He dreams of playing in college. Look at the ESPN top 150. None of them look like him, okay? But let me tell you something I say to him. You always pray and you never give up. You always pray and you never give up. And you keep working and you keep dreaming because it's not just based on your abilities. We're talking to the God of the universe who can do anything. There's no telling what God can do. There's so many stories of people who go against the odds. Is that your story? I don't know. But don't let it not be your story because you stopped praying. Because you stopped asking. God says, I understand, I'm listening, I care. I can do the miraculous. I can't promise you he's going to answer all of your prayers. But I can promise you this, he's invited you to ask them. And he's invited you to pray again and again and again and again and again. So here's the action step I'm going to invite you to take today. You don't have to do this if you don't want to, but I want to invite you to do it. I want to invite you to send us the one thing you want God to do. I want you to get your phone out. You can get it out right now. And I want you to send a text message. Listen, we're not sharing this with anyone. I'll explain this to you in 1 second. Send a text message to this email address. I know that sounds weird, but you can actually text to an email address. So info@athenschurch.com. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to just send a text message. You don't have to put your name on it. You have to put anything. This is the one thing that you need God to do. And in doing that, it's your way of saying, God, I can't do this. And here's what we want to do. We're going to pray with you. We're going to ask God to do something miraculous with you. You see, prayer is just a conversation with your Heavenly Father. And he says, does it matter to you? And then it matters to me. So always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. Always pray. Never give up. We don't know what God wants to do. We're going to end with a song. It's a song that we've never actually sung around here before. It's by Elevation Worship, and they're one of the people that I listen to during some of my time alone with God. If you don't have any Elevation Worship albums, I encourage you to get them and listen and sing and worship with them. And I want to share a couple of the lyrics of this song with you because this is new to us. I want you to listen to what we're about to sing. It says, all the worries of this world, I will lay them at your feet. Surrender every anxious thought for perfect peace. Some of you have so much anxiety around these things. And God says, rather than you being anxious and trying to manipulate it, what if you just lay it at my feet and talk to me about it? That's what he's inviting us to do. All the loved ones I hold dear, all my hopes and dreams and all my fears, I will choose to trust your name in everything. And here's what the chorus says. I will look up, for there's none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you. Jesus, Lord of all. Most of us don't know what that word means. That's not a church word. Lord means master. It means I'm acknowledging that every academic thing, every sports thing, every relational thing, every career thing is under your control. There's nothing you can't do. Every financial tension I face, everything is under your control. Jesus, you are Lord of all. And so we're going to sing this out to him. And if you want to send that text message, we want to pray with you. But here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us before we do that. So will you just stand up? Will you just close your eyes just for a second? And maybe right now is your opportunity just to say to God, God, I prayed and I've given up. And maybe right now you would just ask for grace to continue. Keep praying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Some of you right now, this is your opportunity to say to God, God, I prayed for something and it didn't happen and I'm hurt and I'm angry and I'm upset with you about that. Just confess that to him. He can handle it. It's a conversation. He loves you. He is with you. He is for you. And so, Father, we don't want to carry all these things anymore. We don't want to carry the pressure of trying to do everything on our own. We need your help, God. And so would you help us now, even as we sing this song, to just declare to you how much we need you. And God, help us experience and embrace and just receive in our hearts the concept that the fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We love you and we need you. Receive our worship now in Jesus' name. Amen.